Hi and welcome to my podcast, The Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'm Mommy Imperfect, aka Rena. Now joining me this week to talk about stories that made us think shut the front door or WTF are real life sisters, Sonia and Sita. Have a listen to what we chatted about.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about some stories in the week that have made me think like WTF, right? And first of all, just to get into this, was this really silly thread on Twitter. I don't know if you're on Twitter or look at it, but it's like whether or not people wash their legs in the shower. Basically, people openly admitting, I don't wash my legs in the shower. Who does that? Because my legs don't get dirty and they just get cleaned with the soap suds that run down me.
I think it was Taylor Swift or someone said that they don't wash their legs. And even I was like, huh? What?
Exactly. Okay, I'm glad you're with me on that, right? And then it branched out into whether or not people wash their feet. Because some people are like, oh, but my feet just get clean in the soap suds. Or yeah. If I put soap onto my feet, I'm going to slip and like die in the shower.
Oh, God. I didn't even know that was a topic of conversation. Like, who doesn't wash properly? It's so odd.
Okay, good. Right. So we've got that out of the way. So you agree with me. Fine. Moving on to something a bit more serious. So a recent survey suggests that concerns about body image are making loads of people depressed and even suicidal. So that there was a poll of 4,500 adults commissioned by the Mental Health Foundation. And then Mental Health Awareness Week was just this week gone. And then one of the main themes was body image. So, like, just to ask you guys, you know, you seem to me like very confident women, but have you ever felt down about your body image? Have you ever felt self-conscious that it's made you feel down? Go on, Sonia.
It's something that you have to accept within yourself. Mm-hmm. You're only as good as you think you are. Like, I know there's people that are, you know, overweight or people that are even underweight. Like, when I was in school, I had friends who are like anorexic basically, and when you say to them, oh my god, you're so skinny, what do you do? And even that was offensive. So I don't think there's any one way of going about it. It's just kind of accepting yourself and the way you are. And like you said, once you have that confidence, that's what kind of people notice. It's not so much what you look like, but if you have that confidence, like, I know I'm not skinny or anything, but having that confidence is what then people notice that positivity.
And it really depends on how you feel. So growing up, I think Sonia and I, so I've always been on the bigger side, and Sonia, you were always annoyingly skinny for whatever reason. This is before she discovered chocolate. And it was always this kind of comparison. And when I was really little, I think it did affect me a little bit. But as I grew up, and I've been really lucky and I've been surrounded by really strong women and men alike. So having that kind of impact has never been at the forefront of my life. I think, to be honest, I think because of the confidence that's been instilled in us, I think both of us, it's never really got to us. But there'll always be situations, you'll always wake up on a day where you think, oh, I feel really ugly today. And you do whatever you can to just paint over it. And I guess, I think for me, in terms of body image, I think for me, the one that affected me the most was the scale of my skin rather than actual size. I think growing up, So my kind of my skin was something I really found difficult because I'm slightly on the darker side in that sense. And I have Asian friends who were slightly fairer than me. So they never really understood it, but I would hear, oh, you're not as fair, or and you know, extended family would make comments about the colour of the foundation I was using was dark, and maybe I should use a lighter shade. So actually, body image wise, I think we've both been all right, but I think the colour of our skin is one thing that me and you often talk about, is how that's always been impact. And I think I'm quite lucky where I think eventually I got over it, right? But there will be days when I'm like, you know what, actually I want to stay out the sun because I've not got the foundation to like sort this out, because I've got like different shades at different times of year. I think that's probably the one thing that probably affected me the most, yeah.
Do both of you still think, I don't want to get tanned, I don't want to get any more browner than this?
I love the sun.
I know you do.
But I want to get golden, but when I can, I look, yeah, it's just a bit slow.
Mm-hmm. So I totally identify with that, because for me, like, it was a size thing, because I was like, I was quite chubby, like, as a child and even a teenager. And, like, I still gain weight quite easily. And then also it was a skin thing, the colour, because there's three of us sisters. And then my middle sister, who's the closest in age to me, is very fair. And people always used to say, oh, but your sister's, like, she's really pretty, isn't she? Because she's fairer than you. Like, blatantly say she's prettier than you because she's fairer than you. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't feel jealous or anything, because I'm happy that my sister is pretty, like, to this day. Like, she's, you know, beautiful, both my sisters are. But it did get to me as well, and I would try and use, like, you know, like these holy bits and face pack things and stuff. Yeah. That stopped a long time ago, so I now, like, I love getting tans and stuff. The thing is, like, now there's a lot of body positivity campaigners out there, you know, bigger girls, people with scars and things, and just campaigning for everybody in any skin to feel proud of themselves. But where do you think we can draw the line between loving and accepting yourself, flaws and all, and then improving yourself to be the best version of yourself? So do you know what I mean? Like, do you get what I'm saying here? So it's not like I'm very proud of myself and I'm just going to kind of, like, I'm not going to work on myself, I'm not going to exercise because I'm good being me. And then there's a, I'm really going to try and keep fit, I'm going to work on myself, I'm going to get my hair and nails done. Where's the line, do you think?
I don't know if there'll ever be a line, because it's so easy to cross between the two. Mm-hmm. I think the idea is, you, as long as you're healthy and you live a positive lifestyle and it doesn't hurt anyone or yourself, just be who you are. And for example, I have a particular friend of mine who will always be heavy on the hips. It's just how she is. It's just her genetics, just her family. She will never be skinny. And she's slim, incredibly slim. She's like a plank of wood, but that will always be her body. And it's one of those things where I don't know where you're going to lose any more weight, because that's basically the structure of your body right now. But she's happy and she's healthy, and it's taken a long time, well into her 30s now. And it's taken up until now for her to accept the way she is. And I think that's probably where people will sometimes forget to focus. It's, yeah, you can be whatever shape, color, size, and just anything, as long as you are happy and you are being positive and you are healthy. That's fundamentally just the key, right? And it shouldn't be anything but that.
Do you think that social media is making it worse? Social media and advertising is making it worse for people?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Actually, with social media, I suppose people who genuinely do need help, so people who genuinely might be overweight or even underweight, think it's okay because the media is saying that's beautiful. And yes, there's a lot of positive stuff out there, but actually it might be impactful in a negative way. So when you have people who are very slim or very skinny, for girls who are all trying to achieve that body image, I think, you know what, actually, that girl looks beautiful, she's happy, therefore I might be happy if I continue to put myself in that position where I am being that shape. And even with colour, and you have all these beautiful women. So if you think about India in particular, a lot of the actresses that you see on Indian TV are all fair-skinned. Like, let's be honest, not a lot of people in India are that colour. And yes, they don't advertise things like Fair and Lovely and all that other nonsense, but actually they don't do an awful lot to have, you know, almost showcase the different types of women you can get in India. And yeah, certainly I can't think of a single actress that you say, actually, she's more on the darker skin side than you are on the fairer skin. So I think we could do more, actually.
But yeah, that's true, actually. Although, like, Priyanka, some people are like, oh, well, she's, you know, dusky complexion. I wouldn't ever say she's a dusky complexion. I would say she's just, like, barely normal complexion. But it's, and I think, I don't know about you, but when I went to India, I saw a lot of these actresses actually on TV advertising Fair and Lovely and stuff. I was surprised. Those are crazy, isn't it?
And it's everywhere. Like even some of the herbal shops, there are creams to lighten your scars, but actually it's lighten your skin. I thought, people are still bleaching their skin. And there's like those famous, I don't even know what to call them, but yogis, I suppose, who are quite popular and do herbal medicine. And actually, I went to one of his stores and they were fully promoting creams to make your skin lighter. Bleaching products. They were sold in a different way, it's still a fundamental thing.
So, just going back to like images online and stuff and advertising of, for example, like Indian women who are fair and they've got a certain type of figure and stuff. Have you ever looked at that and thought, that's who I want to be? And has it made you ever feel insecure about yourself?
For me, it was more so when I was younger, and that's when I'd hear more about my skin tone, like, oh, you're dark skinned, and it's seen as a burden. But now I think, now that I'm older, I don't listen to all of that. I don't see, I don't hear it sort of thing. I am who I am, and I'm one of those people that you either take me for who I am or whatever, just don't bother, basically. So it doesn't really affect me as much anymore.
What about you, Sita?
I guess it's never really so when in your youth, things like that affect you. They always will, especially when you're not quite sure who you are anyway. And I guess even through my 20s there was still that insecurity, I suppose, about whether what you were wearing was acceptable, whether it made you look good, or whether it showed off angles of you that you weren't particularly fond of. But actually, I think, like I said, I've been quite lucky that I've surrounded myself in my life with actually really fantastic people. And I don't actually often find that I do need validation from people. As long as I know I'm happy, then that's all that matters, really. But I do know that I have got fantastic people. So I've rarely been in a situation where I've felt negative about how I look or feel. It hasn't really come up yet. Touch wood.
That's really good. Like that's really positive to hear. Now, just thinking now about how can we make things better? You know, what can be done to stop people feeling so down about their appearance and their body and stuff and putting so much on it? Like one thing you just said, Sita, is surrounding yourself with good, positive people, which I think is really important. Like, do you think anything else could be done to kind of create body positivity in general?
One of the main things when it comes to body positivity is also mental health. They both come line in line. And one of the things that I mean, I don't do it personally because I'm lazy, but is working out. And a lot of people say it's not just for keeping fit and, you know, trying to have summer body sort of thing, but also it helps with mental health. I forgot what I'm even saying now.
No, but it is. When you feel, because I lead quite a busy lifestyle, so I am constantly on the move. So granted, I'm not a size 8 or anything close, but I have such an active life. I'm constant, and that does keep me positive because I'm always forever doing things and nothing holds me back. So there'll never be a situation where I'll say, no, I'm not going to do that. The fear can hold a lot of people back. So it would be surprising for people to hear that I will hike a mountain or I will go and hunt down a waterfall or whatever it looks like. I might be a little bit slower than everybody else, but it won't stop me. And that's the point, I think. As soon as they start fearing the unknown or fearing what their possibilities are, that tends to be in his mental health. And it is a whole, but can I or can't I? And it's more of a do it, try it, keep going if you really want to do it. And if you can't do it, then, oh, well, it's just one thing that you haven't done. Find something else, essentially.
I'm going to move on now to reality TV. So you probably know that ITV axed the Jeremy Kyle show after 14 years of it being on air. And this was following the death of a guest who took part in the programme. So do you guys watch reality TV? Be honest. Do you watch it?
I've seen it. If there's nothing else on, I'll watch it. But I don't watch it religiously. Like, I know a lot of people watch Love Island. I don't think I've ever seen an episode in my life.
Yeah, I guess for me, reality TV is kind of like X Factor. And that's probably about it.
And do you watch X Factor?
Yeah. I like a good program.
Yeah. I think us as a family, me and my husband and the kids, we watch The Voice. And I think that's probably the only reality TV. And we watched The Voice and The India Voice as well. But when everybody was watching Love Island and going, oh, it's so great, and I just can't live without watching Love Island, I was like, okay, what is this? So I tuned into one episode. I thought my brain cells were dying. Like, I literally couldn't cope. I was like, what the hell is this nonsense? And I don't understand how people are watching this. So I couldn't really cope with that. Did you watch Towie or anything? Have you ever watched those shows?
No, honestly, it's one of those things. No, actually, I think the Kardashians might be one.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a couple episodes of those. But there isn't, this just, it just doesn't interest us. I mean, me in particular, I just find it so irritating. Mm. And a lot of it is just, you know, put on. And it's just, yeah, I find it really irritating.
So, like, these kind of talk shows, like Jeremy Kyle and other things like that, do you think that people are actually being exploited, like vulnerable people, for these shows, for entertainment?
To an extent, but I also think people that go on these shows know what they're getting themselves into. Mm-hmm. But on the token, I think these sort of shows also need to do better aftercare, especially stuff like Love Island. There was two people on there that had committed suicide as well recently. So mm-hmm. people are going in there with possibly already with mental issues.
But do you think that there's a certain kind of people who'd want to be on these kind of programs?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it depends on what it is that they're looking for, because I kind of can't guess, because I don't think they're all going to be the same type of person. Mm. You might generally have some people who just want attention. It's just nice. And I assume that they make money from it. It might actually be people who are looking for a platform to just prove their innocence. Because a lot of this kind of stuff is that, isn't it? It's just they've been accused of something and they want, you know, some kind of verdict or validation or something along those lines. So sometimes you see some of the episodes, and it's probably not Jeremy Carr, it's probably more like the Jerry Springer type thing I'm thinking of, where they are going on to say, no, I didn't do that. You have to believe me, and I'll go to any lengths to prove to you that I'm worthy of whatever it is they're looking for. So it might be desperation, but it's certainly no sane person, if I can say that, would ever put themselves in a public light and just air their dirty laundry. And, you know, unless they're completely narcissistic and like the attention, but that kind of personal information, I personally am incredibly private. So I know that I keep everything quite close. So for me, it's hard to imagine having all of your worst things happen to you being aired. And then Sonia's right, there should be a pre-care, aftercare. And this goes for all reality shows, because sometimes you have really young people go on some of these shows, especially when it's competitions, and their lives are shattered and it's public. And then it's aired months later on television for everyone to view. It's just, it's not nice. And it's a responsibility, I guess, people should have. But it's been done over and over. And whether it's a small stage or a worldwide stage, there should be some kind of support there.
But do you think sometimes it can be good to show people, to show real people going through things? Like, you know, like with The Apprentice and stuff. Do you watch The Apprentice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that is reality TV as well. I mean, I know it's not like a talk show like Jeremy Kyle, and you would think it's not like a trashy form of entertainment, but it's real people being put in situations, isn't it?
But even then, those characters are the extreme characters. Mm-hmm. Because some of those people on there, you think, good grief, like if you're the future of all our business entrepreneurs, I don't think so. But it is, these characters are handpicked for a show. Yeah. In my day to day, I interview and meet people all the time, and it's, you do get some special candidates, of course you do, but it's like, this is, it's unreal. It's not, it doesn't happen. You don't get 12 lot of very eccentric people all sitting in a room fighting for a really high profile job. You tend to want to, you know, pick them carefully. So I guess there's still an element of, well, these kind of people, they're, you can tell they're like a little bit, you know, narcissistic, and they want to do it for, if they don't actually win, they're going to get something else out of it.
Is there any way that you guys would ever do any kind of reality TV?
No.
I don't think I've got any talents. I think it's nice to have, so, you know, you get like question time and you have debates and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, having a conversation with someone is completely different. But whether it's to if it's something personal to me and I was to talk about it, no way. Or if it was a talent, I can barely comb my hair, so I don't really think there's going to be anything else. Me right now, I've got a hairband on just to cover the fact that I didn't brush my hair. So
I just want to move on now to meat or non-meat, vegetarian meat. Basically, meat-free foods that bleed like the real thing are becoming more common. So veganism and vegetarianism, you might have noticed they've been generating a lot of interest now due to concerns about the environment and because of the impact on our health. But it's not like just about like corn or Linda McCartney burgers anymore. Like there's company offering meat-free alternatives that actually are supposed to look, smell and taste like the real thing and even bleed, which is, by the way, beetroot juice, but they're trying to make it as realistic as possible. So, and also in addition to this, scientists have developed tissues using cells from meat. This is basically lab grown meat. Would you ever consider eating this?
No. If it's grown in a lab, no.
It's okay. Just odd, you know, if it's just odd. Because why would you want your fruit and veg to look like meat? Because it's just bizarre. And especially, I just think it's odd. And actually, I don't know whether there is any truth to really how much we're protecting the environment by growing mass soybeans, for example. I don't think there's any value in that because we're still, you know, creating some land just to grow these crops to make the fake meat. You might as well just rear animals. Essentially, you're still using. And actually, it's like consumerism gone mad because it's people wanting a certain product and it's almost like a luxury product. Just, hey, look at me, I'm being fantastic instead of, you know, doing this, I'm doing this instead. But you're still buying stuff in mass and this waste. And it's just, I think, especially in our world these days, I think we're a bit spoiled for choice. And if we were really worried about the environment, we'd actually restrict the amount of stuff there was and give people the actual natural options rather than coming at all this nonsense and saying, hey, look what we've designed. But okay, but what about actual food?
Right. So you're meat eaters, right? Both of you?
Yeah.
Okay. And so do you eat products like corn ever?
Corn I personally don't, because it has wheat in it and I have a wheat intolerance.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think so, because we have odd things in the house. Like we have the Linda McCartney stuff.
Mum has more stuff because she's vegetarian. Okay. But I wouldn't necessarily eat it myself.
But she doesn't use any of the stuff that makes it taste like meat. I think the point is that she doesn't like the taste of meat. So I think it's just more convenient.
Has she always been a vegetarian?
No. No. She turned vegetarian about 15 years ago, maybe.
Has it been that long?
Feels that long.
Probably.
And was it a religious thing?
It yeah. was a religious thing, but also a preference thing, because Mum's never really been big on meat. She was always basically a pescatarian, but she decided she might as well just cut fish out of her diet as well. And that's how we ended up with Mum becoming full-time vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. And so are you like proper meat eaters or are you like part-time vegetarians?
Well, because Punjabi food is mostly vegetarian, so actually diet does consist more of vegetarian food. Mm. So we're used to having sabjis and stuff and having a lot of veggie food.
Same.
It wouldn't be the end of the world if we didn't have meat.
Except for Dad. I think Dad would cry.
Okay. So that's another thing that I was going to talk about. Like, is it like a cultural thing? Because like, because I was just researching into this, right? And apparently in the world, meat consumption has in general risen, right? And especially with the increase in people's income. So like in countries where the average income has increased, so has meat consumption, with the exception of India. In India, average incomes on the whole have increased, but meat consumption has just been like a straight line, just stable, and it's lower than the rest of the world. And that is obviously a cultural thing. And it's like, I don't know about you guys, but you said that you eat a lot of Punjabi food and sabjis and stuff, and so do I, but do you keep meat for weekends only or not?
It used to be a thing in our house where every Friday we would have, like, English food. So Indian food. Yeah, it's just a tradition we have. And then Saturday was always, we'd make some kind of Indian meat dish. More to appease my dad, to be honest. But I think over the years, because it became such a routine, it's just one of those things we don't really care about anymore. And I think we do, for convenience, we'll make a sandwich that'll have, I don't know, some kind of meat, some kind of like sliced chicken or ham or something in it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think none of us really actively seek out meat or ever really want to eat it. I think we've just got used to the idea. I mean, to be honest, Sonia's favourite thing is mushrooms. So if Sonia could hunt down mushrooms anywhere.
Mushrooms is everything.
But yeah, it's just, I think it is a cultural thing because we've grown up having all these different types of vegetables available to us. It's not something we fear, where I think for a lot of people, meat is the safe option because they know it will taste good, I suppose.
Yeah.
But for us, we know actually you can make a fantastic dish with a handful of vegetables and actually that's fantastic. So I think it's probably more fear for some people than it is taste, I suppose. I don't know, to be honest.
And, you know, like the way that you were talking about having English food on Friday and then the meat dish, Indian meat dish on the weekend, that is literally my life. And when I married my husband, he's like, no, you know, I think all these like vegetarian foods are a waste of time and there needs to be meat every day. And I was like, what? And even now, me and my kids, we sometimes eat just like sabji or dal or roti or something in the week, you know. And for him, I'll like make like a massive amount of like chicken curry or something like that, and then he'll just keep having that because I'm like, I can't be like, it's, do you know what I mean? It's because I'm not used to kind of just making like tons of meat in the week. But he's happy with that; it's fine. But still, I am still, through tradition or just what I'm used to, not used to having meat dishes every day. I just I really see the point of it.
Meat every day is expensive as well. Meat don't come.
Yes.
And plus, who's going to do all that cooking every day?
Forget it.
Just make one sabji that'll last about 3 or 4 days. Freeze it. Especially, you can have it a month later.
Especially dal. It's like a 10-minute job. Put it all in a pot. Off you go.
You can make sag. A year's supply of sag. That's it. Just keep freezing it. Keep roasting it.
Exactly. So do you think that you could ever be meat free? Could you go down your mom's route?
I know I could easily become pescatarian because I could easily give up all meats, but I just love fish. Like, that freezer's full of stuff, like prawns and stuff. But I don't, you could be a fungitarian if you could just live off mushrooms. But I don't know.
Could you go meat free, Sonia?
No, I couldn't. Like, it wouldn't hurt me to, like, you know, not have meat a couple of days. But I need to have like something chickeny, or like, as an Indian, I love beef.
Oh my God. What kind of Hindu are you, man?
She said, I just love a steak.
Did you say you just love beef? Okay. Like burgers and stuff, steaks.
Steaks mostly. I don't really like burgers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, for me, that's a treat though, because obviously we can't bring it in the house.
We're not allowed to bring it
so
house.
It's when I'm going out, and it's like once in a blue moon, I'm like, oh. And I think, you know, it's like the forbidden fruit. That's what it is, because I know it's so naughty, but I feel so good.
Especially if we're out for dinner with our mum, and she's like, "What is that on your plate?" And you're like, "Lamb."
Yeah, I mean, I never actually cook beef in this house, right? My husband doesn't eat pork, so we never have beef or pork in this house. However, I'm not gonna lie now, like you, Sonia, I have tasted the forbidden fruit, like accidentally, not accidentally, on purpose kind of thing, you know, when I'm, you know, out and about and whatever. But I'm not like, yeah, it's not one of my favorite, but yeah, I have. And also, like, once I met this this Hindu guy who was a really strict vegetarian, and he was like a really strict Hindu, and he was like, oh, you know, vegetarian is the way forward and stuff. And then I was like, oh, but what about all these Hindus that they're not vegetarian but they don't eat beef? And he was like, well, that's just really silly, because the way that you treat a cow is just an example of how you should treat all animals, really. And then, so if you're not eating beef but you're eating all other meats, then what's the point of that? You might as well just eat beef as well. And then I was like, all right, thanks, I'll eat beef as well.
I mean, that's the opposite of what he's trying to achieve there.
I know. I know, it's bad, it's bad, yeah.
But there are some people, because I think I've got a few friends from Gujarat who don't actually eat anything that grows in the soil. So, like, potatoes and onions, and, well, I can't think of any other veg that grows in the ground now. There you go, fantastic. But they consider it that pulling something from the ground, from Mother Earth. And so their part of their diet is not to have that. And I think it's quite big in Gujarat, because that's predominantly where people I know that do it from.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting, because I'd never heard that one before. So, you know, you get different levels of vegetarianism, I suppose.
Yeah, you do. You do. So the last thing I'm going to ask you is a new thing that I'm starting this week. So it's just life lessons, really, that you want to share. And it could be anything trivial or something profound, something life-changing, funny, just something that you've learned this week, maybe about yourself, about something else. Is there anything that you want to share, any life lessons that you've learned this week? And I'll share mine as well.
Okay, well, I guess I had one thing this week. So I celebrated a birthday not so long ago, in the last couple of weeks, and I was with the girls that I grew up with. Now, I've known one girl literally since the day I was born, and the rest of them since I was the age of three. So I've known them for like 29, 30 years now. And we were sat there earlier this week, and we were talking about all of the things that we've been through, and actually how even though we were seriously close because of our cultural background, because we were all Asian, all from the Asian community, we mm-hmm. did think we wouldn't tell each other because we thought it was naughty. So like the beef thing. So mm-hmm. I remember when I had my first alcoholic drink, I didn't tell the girls because I thought, oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing here. And like, I've done this one thing. Like, I told my mum and dad I had an alcoholic drink, but I couldn't tell my Asian girls. And it was just And so it was just really interesting. So now when we're together, we talk about things we probably shouldn't be talking about. It's far too personal things. But we finally got to a stage where actually we're talking like girls who should, like, we're talking the way we should have been doing when we were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's taken us all this time to get to this stage. Because of our conservative views that actually, in my particular case, my parents never actually imposed swearing. Mm. Whether we just picked it up from each other, we don't know. And that's what I learned this week was, who the hell was I when I was that age? Because I don't know who that girl is right now. Right now, like, I would just, yeah, I'm completely different. And we're talking about just old friends who've drifted and how shocked they would be to meet us as we are right now, because we're doing things and saying things and behaving in a way that was completely just like different from how we were back then. Not that I'm saying that I'm completely off the rails or anything, makes me sound really awful, but it's just, yeah, I'm a bit more liberal the way my mum and dad are. And yeah, it was just really odd. So that's what I learned this week.
It took you a while, but you're there now. You're there.
Yeah, we're finally at a stage where all of us have got to a stage where everything's just, nothing's off the table. Now we talk about everything and it's insane.
Real talk. Just real, 100% real talk. I like that. So what about you, Sonia?
I don't think I've learned anything this week about myself. I've just been at home cooking and cleaning. I haven't had time to think. I'm just thinking, what sabji am I going to make today?
No, we did discover this, that we booked a holiday, but they're going to Geneva, but their hotel is in France.
Oh, yeah.
What? Really?
We're going to Geneva, but the hotel is in France.
So
but it's on the
border.
Geneva is in Switzerland.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Because for a minute I was like, do I know where Geneva is? Because I'm really confused right now. But okay, yes, it is in Switzerland. What are you going to do then? Why has that happened?
We don't know.
I don't know.
But we were sat there going, Dad, you know that your hotel's in France? And we know we're going to Geneva. Like, I understand that. Your hotel is in France. You're going to have to cross the border every day that you're there.
But we're on the border.
Yeah. So he's literally going to have his passport, like, in his back pocket just all the time, basically.
They said, well, the hotel said, the travel agents, I think, said you don't have to because it's just the norm. But we're going to keep a copy on us just in case anyway.
You're brown. Just keep it in your pocket. You never know.
Okay. Keep the passport with you. Don't take copies.
At all time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wow. Are all of you going to that?
I'm not. Everyone else is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not going?
Well, I was on a holiday on my own earlier, this week.
Did take me.
Yeah, so they are going on their own, which is fine by me because it means I get to be in the house by myself and free reign of the TV.
Party! House party!
People have been saying that to me, but my idea of a house party right now is filling up the bathtub and getting some books and then just sleeping whenever I can. This is it. This is what I'm going to do when they're on holiday. I can't wait.
You calm down, love. It's too wild.
I know, so wild.
So I'm going to share mine with you now. One thing that I have learned this week is, it's quite silly actually, but I need to sort my hair out. Like, I need to start combing my hair, basically, because I went to this event this time last week and I wore this really nice outfit, which courtesy of my friend. I borrowed this outfit of my friend and it was really nice. And my dad was like, oh, wow, your outfit's so glamorous and stuff. It was my dad's event, right? And then there was a professional photographer there. Even my makeup was all right and everything was fine. And I just look like I've just rolled out of bed in the pictures because of my hair. I don't think I can get away without combing my hair or doing anything to my hair anymore. I think those days have gone and I don't know. I actually don't know how to do my hair.
I can relate. This is why this has like saved my life, the hairband, because on days when I'm thinking I don't know what to do with this, just push it back and it seems to work. People think it's cute.
My hair's long. I don't even dry it. I don't straighten it. I just let it air dry, brush it once, and then that's it for the rest of the day.
This is not blow dried.
No.
Is your hair not? Oh my God.
Where is it there?
Wow. Okay. So your hair is down to your waist. It looks like it's been straightened and blow dried.
Ridiculous. And it's dead thick. Mine is thin, wavy, and just goes out in all directions.
Yeah, mine is thin. Mine was thin to start with, to the point where in my family, my mum used to, like, as a joke, say Iqbal to me, call me Iqbal for a joke, because everybody else's hair was really thick and I had really thin hair. And then after every child, because you know, like, the thing about having kids is like when your hair falls out and stuff. So I was literally half bald. I had to do like basically a comb over to sort my hair out. And then it grew back, but then it's kind of like three times of falling out and growing back. It's not that thick. And so now I'm like, I don't actually know how to blow dry my hair and I need to, I have to start learning these things. Somebody's told me about these sleep rollers. So you put them in. Have you got them?
I've got rollers, but not the sleep ones.
Okay.
Sleep ones are like foamy, so they're not. Yeah.
But I like the sound of them because I can just do it at night, maybe like when I'm watching TV or something. So I do it at night. I'm very lazy with all the hair thing, right? And then I can just like leave it in and then hopefully just take them out and hope for the best. So I'm going to try that because I just can't be bothered.
The other thing you can do, actually, if you've got a scarf, wrap it around your head like a headband like this and then like wrap your hair into it like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Wrap it all the way around and then in the morning take it out and you've got little waves.
Have you done that?
I've tried it, yeah, but my hair's too long for it now. I can't be bothered.
I've done that. It actually worked because I did it before a wedding. So, yeah, or you could just get a scarf tight around your hair and just almost put the hair in between it and just roll it around.
Find it.
And that it actually did work. My hair doesn't hold the shape very well, but it did work.
I'm going to do it.
We want pictures when you do it.
I will do it. I will let you know because, and it's so ironic the fact that with me and my two, we and my sister, like the three of us, I'm the one that literally cannot be bothered with my hair. I'm very, like, simple with it. I hardly even comb my hair. And then I've ended up with three girls with very curly hair. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, it's a lot. I've had to learn a lot of stuff. I've had to learn to cane row. I've had to learn, oh, wow, I've had to learn so much stuff. So, yeah, the irony of it, hey? But I'll let you know how it goes. But, girls, it's good talking to you again. And take care. Let me know about your trip, how it goes. Hopefully, you won't end up being deported or anything. And I'll speak to you soon, yeah?
Bye.
You've been listening to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. If you have anything to say, any comments, please do drop me a line. Until next time, take care.